So we've talked about the problem. That was how we started out the year. The problem of the importance of Shabbos and the importance of protecting life and how they go head to head. We talked about the different categories of illness. And what I want to do in this next unit, which will be today, next time, maybe the time after that, we'll see, is talk about how we mitigate overriding Shabbos. What do we do to make things better, so to speak, so that when we override Shabbos, we do it in a way that's, so to speak, minimally invasive from a halachic perspective? One way to do that is to ask someone who isn't Jewish to be the one to do whatever is needed. That's Amira La'akum. That's what we're going to be talking about now. Another method is called shinui. We've talked about that a little bit, doing something in an unusual way. A third is grumma. Anybody know what grumma means? Sorry? Something that causes something else, right. Doing something that causes the malacha to happen, but you don't do the malacha directly. So we're going to talk about what that means and how it applies. Good? Clear? Okay. So we're talking Amira La'akum first, the idea of telling a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos. So in order to understand how this works, we need to be cognizant of two problems. One doesn't even have to do with non-Jews. The other one directly does. So I think I'm going to also put this on the board. Two terms that you need to know. The first term is, in Hebrew, Ma'aseh Shabbos. Something that was made on Shabbos. The act happened on Shabbos that created it. Let's take a case that doesn't involve non-Jews. I go over to somebody's house on Shabbos, and they offer me cake. And I say, wow! That cake looks really, really good. It seems like it's fresh out of the oven. And they say, yeah, it is. I just made it for you. Are you allowed to eat that cake on Shabbos? I already see head shakes. No, sorry? Depends on what? It's a good cake.
If they knew that it wasn't
right. So was it intentional? Was it accidental? May not help in this case. This is called Maaseh Shabbos. It's something that was produced on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to use that which is produced illegally on Shabbos. I may be able to use it after Shabbos, depending on the circumstances. Whether I'm allowed to use it, whether they're allowed to use it, the people who actually did it wrong, those are all good questions that deserve a discussion at some point. But the point right now is, I'm not allowed to benefit from something that somebody does illegally on Shabbos, and it will apply to something that a non-Jew does on behalf of a Jew. Follow? This has nothing to do with whether I told him to do it. It doesn't matter. That's completely irrelevant. They did it. They baked the cake because they felt like baking cake. They didn't even know I was showing up. I surprised them. Doesn't matter. Still a problem. Clear? That's Maaseh Shabbos. The other term is Amira La'akum. Or you may see Amira La'nochri. The same thing. For our purposes, it's the same thing. Akum, we've talked about this before, means it's an acronym, Ovei Kochavim Umazalot, somebody who worships the stars and constellations. It means an idolater. Nachri literally is a foreigner. Either way, it means people who aren't Jewish. And what this prohibits is for me to tell a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos. Maaseh Shabbos is usually like there's a product they made that now I want to use. Amir La'akum could be much broader. It might have nothing to do with products whatsoever. Example, I need a ride somewhere, and I say to the non-Jew, do me a favor, would you, you know, use your phone and get me an Uber? That's Amir La'akum, asking the non-Jew to do that for me. Yeah?
How is Maaseh Shabbos
right, so that's a very good question. Just to repeat that to make sure everybody can hear it. the non-Jew is allowed to do this stuff on Shabbos. So why is this a problem for me at all? He didn't do anything illegal. What he did was fine. So take a look at the first source on the sheet. No, not the first source. It's source number 6. Sorry. The first source on the new material on the sheet. And this is a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. Nachri shehidlik es haner. If a non-Jew lights a candle, meaning for personal use, for the non-Jew's own use, in that case, mishtamish la'oro yisrael, a Jew is allowed to use the light from that candle, because as you said, non-Jew did nothing wrong. What's the problem? Asa nachri kevesh le'reid bo. The non-Jew wants to descend from some higher area, boat, whatever it is, to a lower area, and builds a ramp. The non-Jew did it so that they are able to descend the ramp. So the rule is, Yored Achrav Yisrael, a Jew is allowed to go down that ramp as well. Vim Bishvil Yisrael, but in the event that he does it on behalf of a Jew, Aser, then it's no good. So the issue here is not the non-Jew did something that the non-Jew wasn't allowed to do. That's not true. The issue is that the non-Jew did it on my behalf. There's a debate in the Gemara. Is this a de'oraisa or is this a de'rabanan? The Rambam holds that it's de'rabanan. It's a rabbinic decree. We don't want to benefit from that which the non-Jew created for us on Shabbos with an act that we would not have been allowed to perform. Tova, and then Rina.
So if a non-Jew
yes, the intention will work there. So we're going to see that in a minute. So I'll hold off for now, but in the next couple of sources, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, Rena.
What if, like, you're able to function without, let's say, like, you're reading and it's, like, sort of dark?
We'll get there. Okay. The next couple of sources. You're both bringing up important points, but take a look at source number 7, and we'll see two exceptions to this rule. Shulchan Aruch says, Bedavar deleka lemechush shema yarbe bishvilo. If you're talking about a situation where there's no concern that the non-Jew is going to do more of it for you, it's atomic. You only do one thing. You don't end up doing more than one thing. So in the event that the non-Jew is doing it for himself and he's not adding anything for you, there's no reason he would add anything for you. Kigon, for example, shehidlik ner la'atzmo, he lit a lamp for himself. Oh, asa kevesh le'reid bo, he made a ramp in which to descend. Exactly the cases I brought from the Mishnah in number 6. Shebener echad ubekevesh echad yaspik lakol. You only need one ramp. You only need one candle. Afilu makiro mutter. Even if, this goes back to Tova's question, even if the non-Jew knows you, and so you say to yourself, well, he's clearly doing this because he wants me to be able to benefit, as long as the non-Jew makes use of it, it's fine. You've definitely heard the term Shabbos Goy at some point, right? What does it mean? No, not necessarily. What does it mean? Sorry?
Ask a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos.
It's a non-Jew who does stuff on Shabbos that Jews end up benefiting from. So often the way people do it nowadays is not correct. The way it was done historically, the classic way that it was done, was, let's say, it's cold in your house on Shabbos, you want the fire lit, you invite the non-Jewish neighbor over for a drink, the non-Jewish neighbor comes in the house, wants to have a drink, realizes, hey, it's cold. Mind if I put on the oven? No, go right ahead. And now you have a warm house. But the non-Jew was doing it for themselves. It wasn't that the non-Jew was doing it on your behalf. You know, it was for themselves. And yes, everybody knows you're going to benefit. And the non-Jew can figure it out. It's not like he doesn't understand what's going on. But as long as he benefits personally, you're okay. Now, there are cases where you don't need them to benefit personally, where Amira La'akum is okay and Maaseh Shabbos is justified. So we talked about Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. Right? If the non-Jew is going to do something that is itself only rabbinically prohibited, and it's going to enable a mitzvah, then we're okay with it. A possible example of this would be, you're in shul, and there's a desperate need for air conditioning. It's just, it's overly hot, people can't daven. So the non-Jew is going to come in and is going to manipulate the thermostat such that the air conditioning goes on. The non-Jew's not doing it for himself. He's not sticking around. He already davened Hashkama. So the non-Jew is not getting a personal benefit from it. However, since manipulating the thermostat, according to most poskim, not all, but according to most, is considered a rabbinic prohibition, you could have the non-Jew do it in order to enable the mitzvah of people davening together. Or because of the public need also, it's the fact that it's a community, not an individual. There's more to say about that. Yeah, Rena.
What about, where does the line draw? What about if, the lights are off?
So, again, it depends on whether this is biblical or rabbinic. It's, are these fluorescent lights? Are they LEDs? Are they incandescents? As well as another element that might change things is communal need as opposed to individual, a person's private need. But what I would want is for the person who isn't Jewish to actually stick around and read a book, make some use of it for themselves. And then, yes, the community also benefited from that. That would be the ideal. Yes?
Says you.
No, but no one's going to invite a non-Jew to their house to read a book so they can turn on the light.
So that was historically the way it worked.
That they know what's going on. Or do we have different parents that seems other people have to do this?
And again, in the event that it's enabling a mitzvah, and what they're doing is only a derabanan, then you have a separate justification. Then you don't need them to stay. So turning on an oven, I think, is a del risa. I mean, unless maybe if it's electric, maybe. But even then, it heats up. No, the heating element heats up. Sorry. It's an interesting question. I'm not gonna address it now because I'm worried about making a mistake when answering something like that on the fly.
But is that considered a mitzvah on Shabbos?
Yes, Onik Shabbos is definitely considered a mitzvah. Yes.
Just to clarify, the first shvus is the actual derbanan you want to break, and the second is the
amir lakum. Correct. Yeah.
Can a non-Jewish feeling of helping their neighbor be a benefit for them?
Right, so I don't think it works that way. No, I think they need to actually benefit from the malacha directly that they did. So this is all one leniency. The other leniency is source number 8. And this goes back to what I think Rina had asked before. Someone had asked it over here. Em yesh ner b'beis Yisrael. If there is already a lamp burning in the Jew's home, u'ba'in Yehudi v'hidlik ner acher, and then a non-Jew comes along and lights another one. So mutr lehishtamesh la'oro ba'od ner rishon dolek. You're allowed to make use of the second lamp as long as the first one is still burning. And the idea here is that as long as there was an existing source of benefit, what they added doesn't disqualify you from making use of the light that's there in the room. So it isn't just where there was a light that was already lit. Let's say there's some light from outside. It's not great. You have to use reading glasses. But then they come in, they turn on a light, and now everybody's able to see really well. You do not need to leave the room. You can continue reading there in the room because what they added was an addition, but it wasn't creating everything for you from scratch. That's the idea. Bailey and then Rena.
We said that if they do something not on your behalf for themselves only, then you're allowed to benefit from it. So what if they were turning on that second lamp for themselves?
Then also it's fine. Then you're fine also. That's not our case. This is where it's not, where it's for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
That the second lamp is for you also.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So it says as long as the first lamp is dark outside, but now the light is on.
Right. So that's a good question. I was thinking about that when I made the sheet, but I didn't investigate to check, so I don't want to say something that's not correct. Okay. So let's say you don't have one of these exceptions. Let's say you're sitting there in the room. There's a non-Jewish fellow who sees, you're sitting there in the dark. Feels like, oh, I'd like to help you out. And I'm going to go turn on the light. Mishnah Berurah says, don't let him. Let's take a look at source number 9. In Nizdamen LeYisrael Sherah Be'ez Sheha'eno Yehudi Rotzeh LaHadlik Bishvilo. If the Jew happens to see that there's a non-Jew who wants to light for him, Olasos HaMedura, or to make the bonfire, Tzarech Limchos Biyado. You actually have to say, no, please don't turn that on. You can't just sit there and say, well, I didn't tell him to do it. It doesn't work that way. You actually are supposed to stop him from doing it. Now, again, because we view this as rabbinic, whenever Amira La'akum is allowed, Ma'aseh Shabbos is also allowed. Whenever I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew, like the layers that we talked about, asking a non-Jew to do a derabbanan, asking a non-Jew to do a deoraisa, the issue of Ma'aseh Shabbos is also overridden. But it's one thing that you need to be aware of.
Do you put in actual effort to like stop the non-Jew from lighting?
No. No, you don't need to hold his hands behind his back so that he's not able to light. Like, at a certain point, you've done what you can do. But you do want to discourage it. You don't want him to think, oh, I'm really helping them out. Like, you have to give a serious statement of, I'd really rather you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really what we're looking for. Okay. So, this is the issue of Ma'aseh Shabbos. The separate issue is Amira La'akum, telling a non-Jew to do stuff for you on Shabbos. Now, there are four different reasons that are brought for why I'm not supposed to tell a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos. Four is a lot, but we'll get through it. We won't get through all four today necessarily, although that clock is confusing me again, so I'm going to watch the real time. But let's start on it. There is a view that seems to think that it's actually a deoraisa, that it's biblically prohibited to ask a non-Jew to do stuff for you on Shabbos. We don't hold that way. We hold that it is a rabbinic prohibition. But take a look at source number 10, where Rav Yosef Karo, not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Beis Yosef, quotes the Smag, which is an earlier work collecting and explaining the Torah's mitzvos, which is quoting itself a medrash. Tanya b'mechilta. Mechilta is halachic medrash on which book of the Torah? Anybody know? Sorry? We're at number 10. Shmos, correct. Yeah, that was a good hint. You are correct. Mechilta is halachic medrash on Sefer Shmos. So this medrash found in the Mechilta says the following. The Torah says, Kol melacha lo ye'aseh bahem. No melacha shall be performed on, in context, Yom Tov. So the interesting thing that the medrash picks up on is that the Hebrew word in the pasuk is lo se'aseh bahem. Te'aseh means it shall not be performed, as opposed to don't do it, which is lo ta'aseh. Teaseh says, Malacha shall not happen. So that tells me, Lo saaseh ata, you shouldn't do it. Velo yaseh chavercha, and your friend shouldn't do it. Velo yaseh hagoy malachtecha, and the non-Jew shouldn't do it for you either. Mashma mikan, so he quotes this medrash, and Rabbi Yosef Karo says, the implication is, Sha'asr li Yisrael lahaniach l'goy lasos malachto. A Jew should not allow a non-Jew to do his work. Bein b'yom tov, bein b'shabbos de'oraisa. Whether on Yom Tov or Shabbos, biblically. It sounds also like that would apply to Ma'aseh Shabbos, right? The non-Jew does it in a way that is your malachta as opposed to his own. And then he goes on to say, but if you gave him work to do on before Shabbos and he's doing it before and he's doing it on Shabbos, that's his choice. That's a whole other story. We're not going there right now. But this sounds like it's actually biblically prohibited. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that it is rabbinically prohibited. Ariana.
So what if a Jew doesn't work for you on Shabbos? Like you tell them don't work on Saturday, but like they're so used to working every single day of the week that like they work on your house or like they work on your store. So like in that and you don't really know about it, but someone else sees it. Like what happens in that situation?
So in the event that you find out afterwards that a non-Jew did it and it wasn't with your instruction and you're already after Shabbos, you are likely fine. There are certain circumstances where you have to wait to benefit until such time has passed that he could have done it after Shabbos. Because you know he did it for you. Sorry?
Would you be allowed to fire the non-Jew for doing the work that you've asked him not to do? Or let it because you kind of wanted it to.
You're asking an employment law question.
Yeah.
Like, is this grounds for firing him? That's an interesting question.
Like a rabbi tell you, you have to, this can't happen.
No, but you do have to make sure, tell him very explicitly, really, this doesn't happen on Shabbos, and take steps to prevent it from happening in the future. Yeah. Abby.
Did you say that when it says, no malacha shall be performed, that it applies to non-Jews? Isn't that saying that they shouldn't perform malacha in general, not just for
Right. So the assumption of the Gemara is not, because we assume that Shabbos is given to us. Hashem says, Ozhi beini ubeinechem, right? It's yours. So to go that far is not something that we would do.
Right. So then why would we not be able to argue
and consider it? No, you don't take it out entirely, because the Torah did say, Malacha shall not be done, and it can't mean you don't do it, because then it would have said, you don't do it. Right? The idea that the Torah needs to tell me your friend who's a Jew shouldn't do it doesn't make any sense. My friend who's a Jew is already not allowed to do it. Natalie.
So should Rav Yosef Karo not add this to the Shulchan Aruch?
He did not incorporate it with this language in Shulchan Aruch. Correct. So, Rashi... Yeah. So, having someone who isn't Jewish come to do stuff that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is problematic. However, you may give them a task to do, and they choose to do it in a way that involves malacha on their own. And in certain cases, that will be allowed. In certain cases, that will not be allowed. It's a much bigger area of halacha. But as an example of a case where it might be allowed, you tell them that after lunch, you'd like them to wash the dishes. It's their choice whether they use a sponge or don't use a sponge, whether they use hot water or cold water. You know, hypothetically, that may end up being permitted. I'm speaking of hypotheticals because this is a complicated area of halacha, and I don't want to speak in generalities and say things that people will not properly apply. So I'd rather just be vague.
If you don't even tell her to do anything, then she just comes and she kind of like knows what to do, and you might not even directly benefit from anything. Is that a problem?
So we then come back to, do I need to stop them from doing things for me on Shabbos, right? We said that I do. If they're going to do malacha, right, I'm not allowed to benefit from Maaseh Shabbos. I don't want to get too far into this. I'd rather stick with this and get to the medical applications. I'm worried about the situation in which I say something and it leads to some problem for somebody in the community, and I don't want to do that.
Regular, like, let's say your cleaning lady comes every day at the same time, and just so happens that someone's been sick that week, can she like do what she normally does for that person?
So I'm still not going to answer. Okay. I'm committed to this. So no comment. Rashi brings two sources for this issue of Amira La'akum in different places. If you take a look at source number 11, on the Gemara that says, they're talking about somebody who finds themselves outside of town when Shabbos starts. So they're outside the Erev, and they have their wallet with them. So they say, you're allowed to give it to a non-Jew. And the Gemara asks, why in the world are you allowed to do that? Why are you allowed to give it to a non-Jew to carry for you? My time ashari le lemeis lenachri. And Rashi explains the Gemara's question. Why is the Gemara bothered by you being able to give it to a non-Jew? Vaharehu shlucho lisa enu b'Shabbos, because the non-Jew is your agent to transport it on Shabbos, and that's a problem. I'm actually going to come back to it because I looked at the clock and realized we're at time. Those who need to finish the quiz from before can do so, and I'll see everybody on Wednesday, God willing.
Thank you.
Thank you.